Well, I've gotten kicked out of many different political groups because of my extreme views, or just simply because I think differently. Maybe perhaps that is the right answer, since I am pretty reasonable, at least I would like to consider myself. I even have a strong family and many people to talk to. It's not like I need to talk to these people. It's not like I'm getting any money off of doing what I do. I simply am sharing something out of the kindness of my heart, but apparently that's not enough for some people. For apparently they don't want to look at the intent, they don't want to look at what I'm trying to do, they don't even want to look into at all what it's about. They want to jump to attacks, assumptions. They want to hold on to their power. They want to hold on to what they already got going, and they don't want to change their ways. But amidst that, and amidst how I might be kicked out of some of these groups, and I'm going to name some and a few, I see that there's people who are willing to stick up for those people who are speaking out, even if they disagree with them. And that I see as a beautiful thing. When I see the energy, the passion in people who care, that to me is tremendous. And I give you kudos to anyone out there who, whether you defend me or not, if you defend somebody's ability to speak their mind, that is a beautiful thing. If you defend somebody's ability to speak about something a lot of people aren't willing to speak about, that's a beautiful thing. And being able to see the perspectives and make a case for those perspectives is also a beautiful thing. Okay, certain things, oh, it's too controversial, we can't talk about that. That's not on my bucket list. Nothing is too controversial to talk about. It's only if it's relevant or irrelevant that it really matters to me, because in the face of other knowledge, you know, looking at, well, is this more important or that more important? Are we getting our priorities straight? Are we finding our direction? For instance, you know, let's say, you know, I like spirituality. I like to meditate. I like to be present and be simple. I talk about it in my Sapientia Naturae book, very important for nature. But let's say I were to say, oh, well, let's just meditate all day. Let's just do that. Well, were the abolitionists going to meditate their way out of, you know, freeing the slaves? No, meditation was not going to solve that scenario. They could have sat back and said, oh, well, the problem will fix on its own. But no, they had to create an active effort. They called it moral suasion. I call it moral education. Same thing, basically. You can read about it on theliberator.us. I have a page for what is slavery and what is abolitionism. Essentially, what I'm trying to do. My main goal, my main message, which I intend to hold throughout my whole life. Even if some people think, oh, well, you're too young, you're too naive, you don't understand. Oh, you try to avoid this, you try to avoid. It's like, I'm not avoiding anything. I'm here. I'm always here. I make a video on every single subject. I think videos are formal. I make books, they're formal, they're complete. Me speaking, not complete. You have biases, the way I look, the way I present. Conversation, there's too much hiccups, there's too much self-contradiction. There needs to be a time for self-evaluation. Something I had to do myself and everybody has to do when it comes to evaluating your own worldview, which only you can decide for yourself. The thing is that I want to uphold in this world is that very ability for you to think for you, for me to think for me, not for any one person to think for you or tell you what to do with your own life. It's a very simple moral creed. You have opinions? Great. Just don't impose them on others. Very simple. Another way to look at that is the golden rule, or live and let live, right? Do no harm, take no shiz, right? And I see people who really take no shiz when things go on against people who are peacefully doing their thing or intentionally not trying to cause any problems. Maybe they make a problem by accident. They see the intent in that individual. They say, I'm going to stick up for them because they're not a bad person, and I'm going to be there for them. I'm not going to shun them out of the public debate. I'm not just going to kick them out. I'm going to listen to them, reason to them, let them speak, let everybody decide what should be done. But if you don't have that sense of humility, that sense of respect, that sense of humbleness, well, that goes back to my previous video on temperance, order, and humility. Very important. If you're going to say your cause is virtuous, if you're going to say, well, we're trying to create morality, that you don't have the characteristics of a cult where you, one, kick out people who don't agree with you, and two, try to find everybody so you can recruit them to your side. I may get the message out to many different communities and go, and that's why I tend to get kicked out of some, okay? And not all of them, most of them I get along with, but some will kick me out because I am willing to go out of my boundaries. And there's going to be all sorts of groups. There's going to be all sorts of people out there. There's going to be internet trolls always looking around. There's going to be people who are drunk online and, you know, on some sort of weird drug and on who knows what they have nowadays. And then you have a lot of mental problems going on, and people are going to go online. And there's a lot of people just online, and then you have bots and spammers and all this stuff. Okay. And you have so much mass information and so much distraction, not a lot of self-evaluation. You're going to have so much turbulence in that process of truth. And being virtuous becomes, well, is it really a practice, or is it like impossible in today's world? Because you live in a world where you're going to be criticized no matter what. The internet is going to take you no matter what in its own direction, depending on the way things are currently going and what's the norm. This is why you have cancel culture, you know, this internet cesspool of people starting drama with each other. Oh, look, he did this. Oh, he said that. Right? And I'm here saying, I got to defend this person, I got to defend that person. If you see on my channel, I've defended some people. I can't defend everybody, but I see if I can defend somebody, I'm going to do that. And even if it's somebody who, oh, they made something controversial, if I don't see a bad intent, an actively bad action being done, I'm going to defend them. And even when I see a bad action being done, I'm not going to defend them. I'm going to see the reasons why that bad thing was done. I'm not going to blame it on the person or the title, necessarily the identity. I'm going to blame it on the underlying situation. Were they on drugs? What was their mentality that led to that? What was their environment? And this is not what the media or the schools question when it comes to delivering the news or delivering the history. It's like, don't look at the further questions or the other side of the debate. The other side of history. But there always is, if you understand the mentality of all the populace. In my video, I said there's this one simple thing you can do to find all the answers, and that is simply observe the mentalities of people, because the mentalities lead to the actions, and the actions lead to the world. And there are people with the guts to say that some of my content is useless, or some of my content is, I don't know, they come up with a bunch of different things, because they themselves don't produce content. Okay, they may have a whole bunch of personal biases and egos. And so, okay, you disagree. Great. Do you have to jump to attack? Do you have to rant about it on some social media platform? Do you have to try to confront me and spam me in different chat logs? I mean, this is what people will do. Think about how desperate they are. Okay, but do they ever come up with a formal presentation sharing their own thoughts? Because that would be a way not just to impact one person, but many people. If you think it's so wrong, if you think my worldview is so wrong, do present it to everybody. Don't keep things secret. Don't try to, you know, create secret things. Say, oh, keep this between us, and oh, but you can't do this. And then, you know, the next day, oh, well, I'm going to share it with everybody. I'm going to leave out certain details. Because this is what people do to keep their power. And it's all this manipulative little strings that people will have, you know. And this happens in any organization. This happens in voluntary, involuntary. But just imagine how bad if it's an involuntary association, because then you have violence being done where people don't see violence as being done. Whereas if it's voluntary, it's like, oh, okay, well, bad management. I don't need to participate, right? But it's kind of sad because you want people generally to get together. And I think the goal of a lot of groups is really just to get together. You know, so I put myself out there and I end up in situations that I sort of just explained. Okay, but I generally get along with a lot of people. Now, the groups that I particularly did not get along with, and really, really stupid, subtle reasons, I would say, would be the Mises Caucus in Pennsylvania. I reached out to them. I said, hey, I joined their groups, right? I joined their video calls. They were all cool with it. They said, hey, I'm going to invite you to the group chats. Awesome, awesome, awesome. You know, some people that run the group chats. And, you know, I have my own group chat. The only person that I've ever banned was somebody who was spamming. That's pretty much it. But you can disagree. You can share your thoughts. You can share whatever you want, as long as it's, you know, pretty darn nice, just basic respect. And so, you know, here you have these people, and they have an agenda. They're a caucus. They want to vote people in office, and I'm just here saying, hey, well, okay, I want to see how I can get involved. You guys are people who care about freedom. I personally don't think voting is the solution, but I want to start my own event. I want to, you know, start an event where I can bring people together and show them these other solutions. Well, the administrators of that group did not like that very much. they did not want, and I have different recorded things and I have screenshots, but like, I'm not one to bring up like, oh, look, here's the DMs, let's leak it all, because I'm not one for drama. Like, I was about drama when I was 13. Okay, but it's not 2013 anymore. And, you know, totally different world too back then, but of course. But people now are like, oh, I gotta show the logs. Oh, let's cause drama. And oh, it gets all the clicks. I'm not about doing that anymore, because I was a lot doing that back then, but that's because I was very young and wouldn't do that anymore. Kind of matured to see like drama doesn't really not benefit anybody, but especially on the internet, today's world. But you see in this group, they don't want outside ideas, ideas that say, well, voting is not the only solution, elections are not the only solution. So Mises Caucus is a good example here, okay? And it's funny because I entered that group chat and I first asked a question. I said, hey, is there anybody starting groups, getting get-togethers? They said no. And I said, okay, well, what if I start one? And everybody's like, yeah. Okay, and then I start one a month after, when the group has grown a lot, and I start posting advertisements for it, sharing some thoughts and saying, oh, well, voting is not the only solution. And the administrators banned me. They didn't talk about it. They didn't reason. A bunch of people were throwing some assumptions. Even though a bunch of people wanted to support me in that endeavor, there was nothing that ever took place. They just took me out of the group. So I talked with one of the administrators and I reasoned with him and no, nothing. You know, he's like, basically, this is the response I got. I said, well, this is what he said. He said, well, the administrators thought it was a bad idea. I'm like, really? So just a few people who like said that it's a bad idea, that makes it a bad idea? And he didn't know how to reply because he's just doing what he's told. Yet he's supposed to be for freedom. Yet he's supposed to be a libertarian. He called himself an anarchist, yet he's using voting, yet he's following orders just like that. See, this is the funny thing. People don't always act on principle, but if you act on principle, especially, you know, in light of what we're trying to create in this world, a free and voluntary world, you'd be open to everything. And, you know, you can choose what you don't want to be open to because you're not using violence, which is the whole point of anarchism, in a sense of understanding nonviolence. You don't do violence to others, never justify violence in the name of government. But still, you know, these people have mentalities where you can see it's still within their organization and they think they have to run their political party like the other political parties, even though they don't want to be like the other political parties. How contradictive. And this is what the Mises Caucus and the Libertarian parties do. I got kicked out of another Libertarian party because they didn't like my ideas, and some of my ideas were like, hey, what if we can run an election differently? What if we can educate people rather than vote people in for office? No, didn't interest them because they were direct members funding the LP, and they didn't like the fact that I wasn't funding the LP and giving them money. I was like, well, I want to give money to things that I actively know where it's going and things that I actively support. That was my own personal view. Well, I didn't like that very much. Another thing was Republican clubs. You know, there were several that I went to, you know, throughout time, and well-received generally, depending on who I talked to. That's the thing, is that there would always be people who were interested, who cared, and then the management or administrators would be, oh, we got to talk to you on the side. I don't know if this is your place. You know, and the same thing happened to me when I joined church groups. Yeah, I was desperate. Gosh, I went to church. And I found different groups there, and they didn't like the fact I was sharing Buddhism at a Catholic church. Why is that? Maybe it's because they're not open to having their ideas challenged as well. Wow, sounds a lot like the politics groups. It's unfortunate that this is the case. Now you have the American Common Law Assemblies. This is an interesting scenario because a lot of individuals really stuck up for me here, and they have a lot of energy, and if you're out there, thank you. But there's a lot of people few people who attack. I call them a lot because it's always the minority, the loud minority that's like, rah, 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 and then the rest are like, what's going on, right? And this happens on Twitter, this happens online all over the place. It's always the loud minority. And, you know, you have these people and they're like, oh, well, you know, your natural law is not our law. I'm like, okay, You want to talk about that? Like, oh, okay. Cease and desist. You can't talk to me. If you talk to me, it's like, okay, cool. You know, and oh, let's use it. It's like, no. And they're acting like it's like a dictatorship. One person gets to decide how everything works. It's like, that's not an assembly. That's not people coming together. And again, I wouldn't call that leadership if you're so willing to make decisions like that. So you can just see the ignorance in humanity. And this doesn't stand as a testament against the ideas I talk about, because you're always going to have turbulence in leadership. There's no violence involved in any of these groups. The problem is the political ones are, of course, encouraging violence by supporting politics. But aside from that, I'm just talking about the management of groups in general, people who don't want their beliefs challenged. This is on our way toward tackling this belief system, which gets us to freedom. We have to tackle that belief system, which requires changing the hearts and minds of people. And, you know, you can see that as preachy. You can see that as, oh my gosh, I'm trying to convert people. But I don't think that's the right way to look at it. You know, the abolitionists were just doing their things, but they were saying, look at your own brain, your own contradictions. A lot of them were religious, saying, well, hey, if you believe in God, why isn't God's authority above that of man? So just asking questions and finding out the contradictions. Of course, when you're online, however, there's going to be people who want to look at the catchphrases, and they do it for attention. You know, you can't talk to them face to face. There's a lot of problems with communication when you're with people online. You don't really know who they are. You know, you're not really in the right setting. You don't know what they're doing. They could be drunk. They could be having a bad night. I mean, it's like you don't know who you're talking to when it comes to people online. And then, God forbid, there's an audience and there's a bunch of other pressures on top of that. One of the reasons why I learned not to really talk to many Twitch streamers. If you do, again, try to stick to the questions, but likely they're having an audience, and that audience is there for entertainment. I mean, people are literally watching politics nowadays for entertainment. They're literally watching debates for entertainment. They're not actively watching it saying, man, I want to learn how I can change the world and what better strategies I can use. I would say most people are watching it because it is a theater show that is there to keep their mind distracted, and because they don't see any other way. This is the way I changed the world, and ooh, which one sounds the best to me? It's literally a sports game. And the fact that 50%, 51% of people get to impose their will on the 49% still does not make a wrong action right, and does not make it justifiable for one person to impose their opinion on another. My intent is very simple, and when I have conversations with people, I say, here's a bunch of material. Don't just take it from me. I get it. You want to hear it from me? I can talk to you for hours. Do you have years? Because it would take years to talk about. But we probably don't have that time, and that's why I make videos. That's why I make presentations. And guess what? Some of my presentations are like 10 hours long. Why do you think we make them? You know, why do you think these books are bestsellers? Most Dangerous Superstition. People are saying, oh my gosh, this changed my life. But for the people who haven't read that book, they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's impractical. Ah, that doesn't make any sense. Ah, you know, what is this book? It's just another book. Oh, it's just someone's opinion. Oh, this person's just got a podcast of his own. Ah, I don't have time for a presentation. The ignorance is all there until people actively say, I'm not going to be ignorant for once. I'm going to actually care and put time into something other than what I've put putting my time into. And there's always wake-up calls that people have within their life that they finally realize, okay, I will be open-minded, I will care, I will listen, I will try to approach this differently. And I'm always down for people to apologize. I never hold any regrets against anybody. I never hold any grudges, I mean, as well. You know, I don't do that. I don't think it's a healthy way to live your life. I can barely sleep at night if I do something bad to someone or lie or anything. And you know, it's kind of sad to think that there's a lot of people out there who would, but I would say they conditioned themselves more so to it. They've normalized it. They still recognize it as wrong. Simply the wrong has been integrated into their life to the point where it's like, this is what I'm gonna do because I'm gonna do it. And that is sort of how crime gets normalized, you know. People say, oh, well, if I just do it here and there, oh, well, if it's done this way, they still know it what they're doing. And so there's other communities as well, you know. You got the gun tubers out there, you know, people who are like, man, I want this, I want that. And, you know, there's different groups, anarcho-capitalist even, you know, people who call themselves different labels. They don't like the fact that I don't label myself necessarily. I'm not an easy person to figure out. You know, I don't just talk about economics. I don't have a very strict religious point of view, saying, oh, I'm an atheist or, oh, I'm religious. And, you know, there's a lot of people who've been trying to push the Bible on me and different things. And I think the idea of being an unpredictable or just being yourself is something kind of important in today's world, would you say? Because if you are yourself, you really wouldn't have an identity or a label. You might happen to have an identity or a label, but you wouldn't really know and you wouldn't really attach to it, even if you did figure it out. Like, oh, shoot, I agree with a lot of natural law philosophy. It doesn't necessarily make you a natural law teacher. Like, you don't have to be a teacher of that. That doesn't have to be your only focus. You know, I have a friend, Techno Liberty. He started posting raw meat content on Instagram, got a lot of, support around that. Really cool community of people who are open-minded and want freedom. Awesome. Problem is, he's like, oh, well, my raw meat content gets a lot of clicks. I'm like, bro, you know, do your thing, you know, but it's not about the fame. And he knows this, you know, he's got to do, and everybody's got to do what makes them happy, but also, you know, what is them? What is themselves? So not just fulfilling, you know, their happiness, but also fulfilling their nature, which is going to give them long-term happiness. It's like a content creator who tries to put on a persona. They can only keep up that persona so long before they realize, I can't do that. I have to be myself. And so it's all about just coming to terms with reality. And so the turbulences is all just there on that process. And as with any innovation in history, you're going to have turbulence, especially when, you know, current norms, current boxes are being conflicted with people who are outside of that box saying, poking in saying, what are you guys still doing in that box? Because that's exactly what we're doing. You know, these are people in this community, people who are voluntarists, abolitionists, what have you, are people who are outside the left and right who are saying, hey, guys, you're still in that box. We were there not so long ago. Can we show you why it's not a good place to be? Why it's just a perpetual cycle of suffering and not really going to help humanity and its freedom? You know, could we look at all the philosophers of the past? Do we have to disregard them, say, oh, well, it's all nonsense. It's all just, you know, rhetoric of impractical illusion of utopias. You know, could we actually, like, delve into it and find out what it's about? So, you know, but there's always going to be people who think, oh, well, you already explained it. Oh, I already got it figured out, and I've already looked into it. So, yeah, you're going to have people like that. The point is that even if you think what you think, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think of me. Just don't impose it on others with violence, because that's what politics does. And people always want to skip around that bush. They want to talk about the things I talked about in this video. They don't want to talk about that fact of the matter, that every law is backed by violence. Because they know for a fact that that's immoral. But they add so much justifications and so much excuses to try to make it seem like it's moral or necessary, even if it's something they recognize as immoral. A necessary evil, they call it. As if it's not evil, so, you know, why call it necessary? I guess we'll just keep living our lives and ignore it and see possibly no other reality, just like when, you know, the abolitionists were saying, hey, we can end slavery, and everybody was like, nah, come on. Everybody has slaves. This is the economy. There's no way around this. I expect the same reactions. I use these analogies because the abolitionists were pretty much on point with what they were saying. I mean, look how fat this book is. William Douglas told me about this book. I mean, gosh, it's stinking huge. And this is just one of the abolitionists, like literally just one, like this is his life. You know, William Lloyd Garrison, one of the most influential at the time and considered radical. So, you know, he was kicked out of groups. People didn't like his views on, oh, you can't use politics to end the cause, but he's now known as one of the most influential people during the abolition of slavery. And then other people will say, well, slavery wasn't ended due to moral education. Okay, then what's the whole point of ending slavery? Why do people not try to enslave others now? Are you still going to say, oh, it's because it's machinery, it's because of innovations, because of the Civil War, it's because of Abe Lincoln? Like, no, Abe Lincoln was not an abolitionist. The Civil War was a war not a lot of people wanted, just like every war nowadays. History has stayed relatively stable, but the evolution of humanity continues if we evolve with our humanity, our morality, our understandings of nature, as with science, as with technology, as with slavery, and countless examples of how things have changed, even if there's cycles within that. Okay, so the funny thing is, you know, people will stand up for you. This is the main point I want to run home. Like, you can be against the grain. You can go to these groups, you can share your ideas, and you know you've done no wrong. You know, you may have said some things, you're like, oh shoot, maybe I should have been a little bit more light, maybe I should have asked more questions. I realized that for myself, right? And I realized when I need to approach something better, differently, and I'm in a world of many people who don't understand this, so it's not an easy thing to necessarily share. So that's something I could admit to, but they need to do the same thing in respecting me, just as I would respect them. Again, a shared sense of humility, reciprocity. But people will stand up for you. The right people will come out, and you want the right people in your life. You want to be honest. You want to share your feelings. You don't want to be afraid, because the right people will support you, and then you'll know the right people to hang out with, and then you're not wasting your time. You really are spending the time with the people you know you should spend time with, which is, by the way, mostly yourself. You know, don't put all your dependence on other people. Say, I need love, I need this, I need that. Focus on yourself, love yourself first, and along the way, you're going to find some of your best friends, you know, if you are honest, because you love yourself. So just something to really keep in mind here. You know, I'm not going to pander to any interest or any group or any one thing ever. And that's what makes me a little bit hard, you know, for different communities. There's people even in the natural law community say, oh, well, you're anti-vegan. I hope that you don't identify with these things here, and that you look at me and say, well, I appreciate your different perspective, and I appreciate the fact that you still understand that harm is wrong, that you still understand that, you know, it's wrong to do certain things. And as long as we have that foundation, we're good, you know, because that determines ultimately, you know, what's going to be put out there. And, you know, I still agree with, you know, the definition of, you know, why we should not kill animals. I'm saying, well, what if we extend that to plants? What if we extend that to the environment? What if we look at more? And so, you know, I'm still looking at the foundations of morality. I'm still caring about my world. And as long as you have that principle of care, which again is like this binding generative principle, that which creates all things, the Hermetic principles. It's the seventh principle that binds all of them together. Look up Hermetic principles if you don't know. As long as you have that, you are on the right path. And when somebody doesn't care, they say, I don't want you in this group. Someone doesn't care, they say, we don't want this idea. There's no care there for those ideas unless you would entertain them first. And you say, okay, well, this is an idea. Let's address it, or let's have a formal discussion about it, or let us make our intent clear as to why it's not a good idea and let everybody discuss it. But, you know, you have this society of people where they want to seclude themselves in certain groups and certain labels and certain identities and play by those games. Go ahead, play those games. I'm not. Because my message is nature is the answer, you know? I'm just a human being, and some people don't even want to say the word human. This is what it is. You know, you get my intent, and that is the most important part. So, thank you very much for watching. Get kicked out of some groups. No, just kidding. But it might be a good sign that you're on the right path of finding the right people, as I have done in the communities that I've ended up in. I'm very fortunate, very grateful for that. And I like to see people with energy, people who care, people who are willing to stand up for others. Those are the people I will always want to be with. And it's not because they're standing up for me. It's because they're standing up for the ideas, that being truth, humility, justice, respect as a whole. Thank you very much for watching. This is Corey Angelot. Nature is the answer.